Judges chapter 11. We're going to look this evening at this precious passage of Scripture. Glorious, glorious passage of Scripture. And behold, the faith of God's elect. Almighty God is going to deliver His people through this judge called Jephthah. Now Jephthah was a man, the Scripture says, that was born of a harlot. And his dad's name was Gilead. And Gilead married after he had Jephthah. And the Scripture says back in 11, verse 2, Gilead's wife bare him sons, and they grew up. And obviously, and I'm just going from the wording, more than likely, Gilead, the dad, had passed away. And the sons of Gilead's wife that he had married said to Jephthah, "You're not going to have any inheritance with our dad because you're the son of a strange woman." And so they cast him out into a land called Tob, which interpreted means a good land. Well, Gilead, the country where Israel was residing, was invaded by the king of Ammon. And now, those that formerly rejected Jephthah now comes to him and wants him to come back, because the Scripture said in verse 1 that he was a mighty man of valor. And they wanted him to be their head, their captain, their leader. So now what we see is one rejected by men, but chosen by God to be the deliverer of the land of Israel. What a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that men said, "I'll not have this man to rule over me." But God Almighty's raised him up. And he's the Lord. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Well, they come to him in the land of Tob, and they ask him to come back. And what he does is he rehearses back into their memory. You know, he said, you came to me. You know, I mean, you're coming to me now, you know, and to see if I'll come and help you while you're in distress. And oh, how we need to be reminded of our rebellion against Him. How gracious is the Lord to teach us afresh of our waywardness. And how mercifully does the Lord afflict His people to cause them to see their weakness and to see Him as our deliverer, our deliverance. Well, Israel admits their folly and they humble themselves before God's man and assured that they're going to accept Him as their head and defender. Jephthah returns with them. In verse 11, we read, it says, "Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all of his words before the Lord in Mizpah." Jephthah, a man of prayer, and he spread the whole matter before the Lord. He did not lean. He was not going to lean on the arm of flesh and his ability and his own decisions and his own understanding. But he called upon the Lord for direction, for guidance, for God's approval, God's mercy. God's help. Servant. God's servant. That's who he was. They saw him. Jephthah is a mighty man of valor. Jephthah saw himself as a needy man. The servant of Almighty God humbled himself before the Lord. What a picture, again, of our precious Savior. Made himself of no reputation. Here was Jephthah, God's elevated man of valor. But Jephthah knew who he was. Well, Jephthah, rehearsing these things before the Lord, he said, as if he said, Lord, if you've heard these words that these men have rehearsed, if this is your will, if this is your direction, Lord, if you go with us, we'll go. Lord, if it's not your will, we don't go. Well, assured of the Lord's blessing, Jephthah questions that invading king. He's going to just, why are you coming to invade my land? He tried peaceably to resolve the issue, and the king of Ammon, hiding his true intentions, brings up something that happened years ago. Ammon had lost the land of Gilead in a battle to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Now Sihon, if you remember when we were looking at the faith of Rahab, the harlot, whenever Joshua had sent those spies into Jericho, and Rahab told him, he said, you know what we heard? How you had destroyed Sihon and Og, those kings back in the wilderness. Well, here's this king right here, Sihon. Israel was coming to the promised land. They were going to Canaan. And the Lord had instructed Israel to not meddle. Don't meddle with the land of the Moabites or the Amorites. That's the ones who now want their land back. The Amorites. Well, in Israel, when they refused to let Israel go through their land of Edom and Moab, rather than make trouble, because God had told them, leave them alone. Don't press the issue, because they would not make trouble for these countries. Israel was not going to make trouble. They went around them. They just compassed around the east side. Well, when they came to Gilead, the land that's in dispute right now, which had been taken from Ammon by Sihon, this king, Israel asked Sihon, you mind if we go through your land? Well, the scripture says that Sihon, who had taken the land now from this group here that's telling Jephthah, that's our land. We want it back. Sihon had taken it from them. And now here's Sihon over here. Sihon is asked by the Israelites, can we go through your land? And Scripture says Sihon didn't trust them. No, I don't think it will. So what happens is Sihon decides to come up against Israel. And Sihon's going to go ahead and take them on. Israel was not looking for trouble. And so the Lord says that when Sihon came against Israel, Sihon had taken that land. Now here's Sihon, he's going to come against Israel. And what happens is the Lord gives them the land, defeats Sihon. Sihon was going to wipe Israel off, get them out of his way, get them out of his misery. And God now delivers Sihon into the hands of the Israelites. And now the Israelites have Gilead. Now, Jephthah asked, as Ammon was coming to him, Ammon said, okay, give me that land back. That's ours. And Jephthah says in verse 26, he said, when Israel dwelt in Heshbon, that was the principal city that was taken from Sihon. when Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns and Aroer and her towns and all the cities that be along the coast of Arnon 300 years. What happened is after they had come in there, and there was the Israelites living in Gilead now. And they were accepted. Nobody was giving them any trouble. He said, wait a minute. He said, Israel was here all this time, 300 years. He said, why did you not make an issue out of it then? Why are you making an issue of it now? 300 years. Balak, the king of Moab, never disputed the possession of Sihon's kingdom with Israel. There was peace. Why are you bringing it up now? Jephthah said, this land is our land. And God's going to judge between this thing. Well, the scripture says in verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead passed over unto the children of Ammon. The same thing that happened with Gideon and Samson, the Spirit of the Lord, the scripture says, came upon them. That what happened was the setting apart, the empowering, the showing off, the bringing up of God's judge. It was given in part, the Spirit, to the judges without measure to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now at this point, with the history of the one rejected by his people, raised up by the Lord, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're going to find, starting in this verse 30 to the end of the chapter, the faith of Jephthah. The Lord has raised up this man. And the scripture sets forth concerning the faith of this man. Jephthah believed God for Israel's deliverance. Jephthah's faith was exhibited in the vowing of a vow. Verse 30 and 31, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Jephthah, in his desire for God's intervening power in the victory of Israel over the enemies of God's people, bound his soul to the Lord with a vow. He promised, he vowed, whatever comes forth out of my house to meet me, this wasn't a vow where just if one of the animals happened to wander out of the, you know, whatever comes out of my house to meet me, to greet me. Whatever comes out shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. It's going to be totally for God. It's going to be totally for the Lord. That's what a burnt offering was. The burnt offering was a sweet savor offering, setting forth the glory, the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ before God. A sweet savor in the nostrils of Almighty God, the burnt offering. What it took, likewise, concerning our Lord in the defeat of God's enemies, what it took, what God Almighty was purposed to do in the establishing of righteousness and peace before God and His people, was a covenant. A covenant. a covenant of grace. Jephthah made a vow. Here's the enemies of God. And he entered in to a covenant, made a vow, made a promise before God Almighty. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for the defeat of the enemies of God's people. Whatever it takes, Lord, you decide. He put himself in God's hands. David said in 2 Samuel 23:5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, a pledge, an allegiance. That's what it means. Ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation, all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Jephthah knew that the Lord himself ordered all things. He did, the scripture says in Hebrews 11:34, he did what he did by faith. He believed God. He believed God. He knew that the Lord did as he willed in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He knew that nothing moved without God's direction. Therefore, Almighty God was going to direct and provide the sacrifice. He made no deals as to who it was. When Isaac said to Abraham, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Jephthah believed God. Jephthah was raised up by God. Jephthah was the judge. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And Jephthah entered in to a vow, a pledge, an allegiance with Almighty God. Lord, whatever it takes for the defeat of these enemies, if you will defeat these enemies, Lord, you provide the sacrifice. 32 and 33. Jephthah engaged the enemy. Jephthah passed over against the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities upon the plain of the vineyards, a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. The great slaughter. God Almighty gave the deliverance. God Almighty provided. God Almighty put down the enemies of Israel. But what was it going to take for that sacrifice? By faith, Jephthah returned, waiting on God. And he realized that Almighty God and his sacrifice demanded a precious sacrifice. God was the one that provided this sacrifice. Remember, Jephthah made no stipulations on who the sacrifice would be. Lord, whoever it is, I'll leave that in your hands. 34 and 35, Jephthah came to Mizpah, unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. She was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and he said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Victorious, Jephthah returns and he's met with his only child. Seeing her, the scripture says, his heart's brought low. But Jephthah has put his hand to the plow, and he cannot look back. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. I cannot go back. The Lord has spoken providentially. Jephthah knew that all he had, that which was most precious to him, was what God demanded. His precious child. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." You know, to a parent, what would you take? What would you take over your child? What would you not give up for your child? Would you cast your child to just, you know, your child? The sacrifice that God demanded, what's it going to take to deliver the people of God out of the hand of their enemies? It's going to take a precious sacrifice. The Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" This vow made before God left all in the hands of God Himself. "Lord, whatever You demand, You reveal." And He revealed that the sacrifice of Jephthah would be a precious sacrifice. Jephthah had one child. That's all he had. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. Thirdly, God demanded that the sacrifice of Jephthah's vow had to be a willing sacrifice. Verse 36, "And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." Here was Jephthah's precious daughter, only child. But oh, behold the willingness of his daughter for God's honor. Made so, no doubt. Willing in the day of God's power. He came and no doubt he told, "I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I can't go back." And she said, "Thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord. Do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded, that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth of our Lord." The Scripture says in John 17:2, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Before the foundation of the world, in that eternal covenant of grace, God the Father, the Scripture says, chose a people unto salvation, unto life. He chose the sheep. He chose the bride of Christ. Set them apart. Sanctify them. Gave them to the Son, who is the surety. And the Son, in covenant engagement, entered in that eternal covenant of grace and said, "I'll redeem them. I will be the Lamb." What God demanded, God supplied. Christ said, "I will lay down my life for the sheep." That's what He said, John 10:15. "I lay down my life for the sheep. Father, glorify Thou me. Show me to be the one that we have everlastingly purposed to be in the redemption of Your people. Glorify Thou me, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, that I might glorify You as the electing God of all grace." It had to be a willing sacrifice. And this girl comes to him, and when he told her what he had said unto the Lord, and she said, "Dad, do it. Do it." Fourthly, by faith, God revealed, and Jephthah knew that this sacrifice must be a pure sacrifice. Look at verse 37. She said unto her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." Now, certainly, I know Jephthah's daughter was not pure in the sense of being without sin before Almighty God, but her virginity was a beautiful picture of purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a picture of His holiness. Her physical purity set forth in type, in picture, Him who became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And the Scripture says that she went, this pure virgin, the one that God demanded, "I'll give whatever comes out." What do you think God demands for a sacrifice? It's got to be a precious sacrifice, a willing sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. And she went to bewail her virginity. A lot of times you'll read in the Old Testament where when the women were barren and they were without child, she knew that was a mark. It was a stigma. And this young lady, knowing that God was going to send the Messiah through a virgin, but she knew, "It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. My dad's opened his mouth to the Lord, and he's going to have to do what he says he's going to do. Would you let me go up 2 months and bewail my virginity?" It was grievous. For that reason, a matter of weeping, lamentation. So it had to be a virgin, pure, holy, a precious, precious sacrifice. Fifthly, Jephthah's sacrifice was one that was to be trusted. She says in verse 38... verse 37, she says, "Let me go. Let me go up in the mountains. I'll go up and down and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." And look at verse 38. "And he said, 'Go.' And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains." There's no record that's hinted at that Jephthah doubted that she was going to come back. He told her what he was going to have to do. He had opened his mouth to the Lord. She'd said, "Well, you opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me that which you've said unto the Lord. Let me go up for 2 months." He knew his daughter, and he trusted her. Concerning our Lord in Ephesians 1:11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be holy to the praise, to the praise of the glory, His grace, who first trusted in Christ." Our Father, who chose His people unto salvation and gave them to the Son, and all power was given unto the Son, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given Him. It was the Father's will that of all that He had given the Son, that the Son should lose none of them. It was the father who first trusted in Christ. It was the father who justified his people eternally because he trusted his son. He knew he will not fail. Jephthah trusted her. He knew that when she said, "I'll go up for 2 months and I'll be back." You know what he said? "She'll be back. She's going to come back for the very reason that I told her. She's got to come back." Sixthly, the sacrifice of Jephthah was faithful. Verse 39, "It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man." I'm going to stop. I'll read this last part in just a minute. She came back knowing her fate. This pure virgin, she lived and died faithful to her father's vow, to her father's word. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work." Some may ask, did he actually sacrifice her? I think that the scripture bears out that he did. Some might say, "I can't imagine that happening. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac was dead. In Abraham's eyes, Isaac was dead." He knew. He knew God could raise him back up. But that boy was dead. But for sure, her obedience to the fulfillment of Jephthah's vow satisfied God's requirement to Jephthah's vow. That vow by Jephthah, by faith, was ratified, made good on by blood. And our Lord said, "This cup, when we take the Lord's table, is the New Testament in my blood. This is the cost of it. This is what it's going to take." When we drink that little cup of wine, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, what's the payment of our redemption? What is the payment? What did it cost? "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then that last part of 39 and into 40. "And it was a custom of Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year." God's people needed redemption. They needed deliverance. God raised up Jephthah. Jephthah's a picture of Christ, God's deliverer, God's true judge, the mighty man of valor, the true man of valor, the all-powerful man of valor. And Jephthah entered into covenant, into a vow with Almighty God. "Lord, you provide sacrifice. Whatever comes out, that's what it'll be." That precious, willing, pure, faithful, trustworthy sacrifice that was pictured by Jephthah's daughter is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, the one that God provided Himself. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.